Hello, everybody. Welcome to drama and welcome to the 60s. Okay, corny, corny, corny as hell, but it came in my head. Corny, also corny Collins. Oh my God. I'm so hairspray pilled right now because y'all, dream come true. Marissa Jarrett Winoker is on the podcast this week. You're going to hear her in minutes and you're going to absolutely love this conversation. It's an all-time great drama episode. But before we get to it, I want to tell you about our Patreon, which we lovingly call Drama Plus, where for $5 a month, you get extra episodes of Dylan and I, twin talking, as we like to call it, and you get added to our close friends on Instagram, where we spill lots of tea, give hot takes, share content. It's so fun. We're having a blast over there, and you'll have a blast too when you sign up at patreon.com/thedramapodcast to become a Drama Plus family member. We love you so much. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode. If I didn't already give you enough to do, which is listen to today's episode and become a patron, I want to also tell you that you should rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, on iHeart, on Spotify, follow us, tell all your friends about us, leave us great reviews, and enjoy this episode with Marissa Jarrett Winoker. All right, y'all. You can't stop the beat. Time for the show.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, I'm still basking in the glow of my week in New York. I had so much fun with you. It feels strange to be back recording from Columbus, whereas we did like 3 podcasts while I was in New York together, which was so much fun.
Oh my God, it was such a blast. I know. And people have been asking me like, oh my God, what did you see that was your fave? What should you go see? And I'm like, well, everything, almost everything we saw is ending this month or in early January, either yeah. Like because it was planned to, or it is sadly closing early. But so it's like such a bummer. But some of the things we saw that are closing are like Big A Jamboree, Swept Away, Teeth,
Tender Napalm,
The Roommate. So like there's these things that I like want to recommend to people, but they're not going to hear it in time on this show. But shout out to all of those friends, people who made their shows, etc. It was such a blast.
There is something they'll be able to see though if they hear this podcast in advance, and it's Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now. But before we get into that, I just want to say, was that the gag of the week for you too?
Cried my eyes out. Unexpectedly so, Dylan.
I know.
We both nudged each other at one point and we were both like, we can't even like speak, or we're gonna like have that choked sob voice.
Do you remember what part it was?
Of course I did.
It was Good Morning Baltimore.
Well, yes.
It's crazy. You know, we talk about like the Ring of Keys moment is like when you fell in love with the arts. And I think that Hairspray is like one of those on our keychain, you know, because it was so pivotal to us.
Oh my God. I remember when we were first getting into theater, it was like, you know, we were probably like 11, 12, but I had like the CD of Hairspray. Aunt Paula got it for us.
Uh-huh.
CD of the Hairspray cast album. And then I had like a little Walkman, which was probably like even a little out of date at that point. And I would ride my bicycle around the neighborhood after school and listen to the entire Hairspray cast recording from start to finish. And
you were very attached. In fact, your Twitter bio forever was, I'll eat some breakfast and change the world.
I know. It still is.
It's iconic.
You know what? I brought it over to Blue Sky.
Oh my God.
I brought it over to Blue Sky. I know it did. But Dylan, we had to have today's guest on the show because we need to promote Mama and Big Girl Now. We need to promote its future. And we needed to take this opportunity to talk to one of our longtime heroes. And we're going to get into it. There's so much to discuss. Would you read the intro and bring her in?
I'll do the honors. Our guest today is everything. She is perhaps best known for her unstoppable performance as Tracy Turnblad in Hairspray on Broadway, a role that garnered her the 2003 Tony Award for Best Leading Actress in a Musical, the Drama Desk Award, Theater World Award, and Outer Critics Circle Award. The star was a semi-finalist on the 6th season of Dancing with the Stars and is the first ever winner of Celebrity Big Brother in the U.S. She has appeared in over 100 episodes of television shows. Select credits include What We Do in the Shadows, Crashing, Not Today, Bianca, Girls, Melissa and Joey, which I did watch every single episode of, Retired at 35, Moesha, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Stacked with Pamela Anderson. Wow. On screen, she's made memorable appearances in American Beauty, Never Been Kissed, Teaching Mrs. Tingle, Scary Movie, Fever Pitch, and more. On stage, she starred on Broadway as the lovable and hilarious Jan in Grease, at the Hollywood Bowl in both Hairspray and Kinky Boots, and can currently be seen reuniting with her original Hairspray co-stars, Carrie Butler, and friend of the pod, Laura Bell Bundy, in Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now at New World Stages. She is a beloved Broadway baby, television host, reality star, cancer survivor, voiceover actress, and is just so, so, so iconic. Please welcome to Drama, Marissa Jarrett Winokur.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I can't believe you pulled Moesha out. That's like old school biopic. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Marissa, there was so much to choose from.
I have the most eclectic career out of all Broadway people, I will say. That's true.
It's so true.
Yeah, I agree.
I have to say, Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now is everything. It's everything.
Oh, thank you.
Are you having a great time?
I am. I keep saying, I'm like, wait, did I die in 2004? And I'm just like stuck doing a musical with Laura Bell and like Carrie, because I kind of almost feel like if I had died then and was like put in like a holding pattern before I realized, you know, like Beetlejuice, like she doesn't know she's dead.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I'm on stage with Laura Bell and Carrie. That makes perfect sense. And like, why aren't I not with my family? Because they're in Los Angeles. Like, no, I'm dead, but I'm just doing this show. Like, I kind of feel like that's what would have happened in my like holding pattern. So I keep saying that. It's been so much fun. I mean, it's my first show back since Hairspray in New York. So like that alone
is absurd.
Insane. I know. It makes no sense.
There had to have been other offers that were made, right?
Yes, there were. Don't worry. Broadway won't let you down completely today.
Okay, good.
It will let you down a little. I mean, there were a lot of offers in the first, like I would say the first few years, it was like every show was like, do you want to do this role? Do I do that role? But at that point I had moved back to Los Angeles and then I had a child. So then I will say Broadway has let you down in like the last 10 years, because I will say I can't remember my last Broadway offer. My son's almost 16 now. So I would say there was a few since he's been born. But I would say my last offer maybe was like 2014, which is like 15, like 10 years ago. So yeah, no, I think they've moved on past me, you guys. So basically I was like, I guess we have to write this thing and bring ourselves back to Broadway because no one's asking for me. So I might as well do it myself, right?
Oh, it just feels so, you're at ease. You're totally owning the whole stage. I mean, it feels like you never left in many ways. Yeah. I feel like you've just remained in our consciousness all these years. Wait, I have to ask, and we can obviously cut this. Was there anything you really wanted to do? Any of those offers?
There was a couple. I actually won't ever tell anybody the ones, because I was replacing people who then did the role. And you don't have to cut it. There was a few shows that happened where they were like, we're not really sure about this lead. Will you come in and replace them before it opened? And then they didn't replace them. I said, no, I didn't replace them. And then the show carried on and people were very amazing and successful. And I loved them in the roles. So I mean, I didn't love everybody in the roles, but I loved most of them in the roles. There were three really big ones that I was offered to come in and take over before it went to opening night. And I would never want anyone to know what those were, because that's just mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then they did the part. If they got replaced too, then I would tell you. But then they did. In each case, they continued on with the role. So that I would never, yeah. That's my secret, yeah.
Of course. Well, I respect that. That's how you've stayed, you know, so popular and beloved in this business, is that you're just, everyone loves you, Marissa. You have such an amazing energy and you're a girl's girl at heart.
Oh.
And it shows that you're a girl's girl, that you're still besties with the two gals you were leading a musical with 20 plus years ago.
Yeah, I am a girl's girl. It's so interesting. I wouldn't have thought that my whole life. Like growing up, I'd be like, I love boys. Most of my friends are gay. If my friends aren't gay, I like love hanging out. I love watching baseball with my boys, you know. But no, I am. I'm a girl's girl. I really respect women and hardworking women. But in fairness, I do consider some of my gays my girl's girls too. So,
well, of course. Of course. Yeah.
Like I consider most of my gays my girl's girls though.
What was your first exposure with a gay person?
Oh, in high school, I had a really good friend who was gay. Now, mind you, I'm 50. So, I mean, me saying I had a friend who was gay feels so like cliche and like old, but like, people weren't out in 1990, you know what I mean? That 1991, people weren't like, I'm gay, right? So I had a really good friend who was totally gay, totally out, was not accepted by anybody, but like, I didn't give a fuck, you know? We were really close. We're still very close. Most of my boyfriends were gay. I didn't know it at the time, but are now married to other men. My like love of my life, I went to his wedding while he married a man. I'm like, really? Are you still gay? This is really sticking. I don't believe it. I'm like, oh, I guess he's kissing a man now. I guess he's really gay. I had a lot of experience with the gay community very young. I mean, also I grew up in a home that was very, I hate to say because we're Jewish, because that's not why, but I always felt like that's why. But like, my mother was very accepting. I always knew about like gay community. It wasn't like I found a gay person was like, ooh, I found my new gay friend. Like, this is so fun and interesting. It was quite boring, really. It was like, yeah, you're gay, whatever, you know? And like, I was raised in a home like that where everybody was created equal. There was no, I mean, and in fairness, now I look back and I was like, I guess I was kind of blind to minorities because I was raised in a house that there was no minority. I do remember as political climates have changed that I was like, oh, maybe I grew up more naive than I thought, right? So I do think raising a child now, I'm more, this is what I believe. Just so you know, that's not how everybody believes. So we have to keep fighting and keep working to change people's opinions. You know what I mean? Like you can't, I guess we can't rest on our laurels, you know?
100%.
Totally. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Bedford, New York. So I only grew up 45 minutes away from Manhattan. So I went into the city and I cut school and would get on a train. And as minute as I could figure, once I figured out the train system, I was like, I'm going to New York and I'm going to go see a show. And I would literally go see a matinee on a Wednesday cutting school and would go to TKTS and buy a ticket. You know, I was gone. I was ready to be in New York and be a Broadway star at a very young age.
Aww.
And I hated school. So.
We ask all of our guests about the moment that they got into the arts. We borrow a ring of keys from Fun Home. So if you were cutting school in high school to come to the city and see a matinee, this ring of keys moment probably happened before that, right?
Yeah, it did. I was thinking right when you said you saw Hairspray, mine was Evita, and I saw Patti LuPone in Evita, and I was under 10. I don't know the year, but I remember being very young. And in the audience, it was like the death scene in the beginning of Evita. She had died and they're carrying her coffin down. And I remember just being like, I just got chills. Like I so immersed in like the immersiveness of that, I guess. I watched Patti LuPone sing and I remember being like, oh, I am bawling crying at the finale, like at the curtain call. Just, oh my God, I want that. I want to do that. I want that. That was what it was. And that was my moment of like, I'm going to do that. I mean, I'm always still starstruck when I see Patti LuPone, and I've met her 1,000 times now. And I'm always like, oh my God, you changed my life. Like you changed my life. Like, you know.
Oh my God. That's so special. Are you the same height as Patti?
She's taller. I'm not even 5 feet, y'all. I know it's like so crazy. People totally like, you'll come see my show and you're like, I'm the same height as the other girls, but I'm wearing literally 6-inch heels and my hair is up higher, you know, 4 inches. So I make myself like 5'6" with like hair and heels, but I'm not even 5 feet. I'm like Kristen Chenoweth. I'm like Ariana, like I'm like Cynthia. We're all the same. Like we are all the same height. So we make everybody look the same. You know, I love that picture with Adina with like Cynthia, Kristen, Ari, and then Adina. And Adina looks like a 6-foot model, but she's literally like 5'4", right? 5'7". Like, I love that. But I'm like, I fit in that world. We're all really short.
Oh my God. I love it.
Have you gotten to see the Wicked movie?
Oh, have I gotten to see the Wicked movie? Could you imagine if I hadn't? I saw it the day it opened. And I've seen it I'm on my fourth viewing. And I will say my fourth viewing was my favorite because I was able to watch other things than just being like, the first viewing, I'll be honest, I just watched Ariana. I was like in awe of Ariana Grande. I was like, oh my God, she's so beautiful and so perfect. And her voice sounds so good. And oh my God, what a great actress. Like I freaked out, right? And then I would watch the second time. I was like, oh my God, this movie. And then it was like, finally, I would say, it took four viewings before I could like literally just be like, okay. And watch the movie as like a normal human being. And so, but I want to go, I haven't seen it. Funny enough, I keep picking shitty movie theaters and I keep seeing it in like one movie theater was like the size of the TV at my house. And I was like, well, this isn't what I want. So as soon as Mom, I'm a Big Girl Now closes, I'm going to find like a Dolby theater, like around sound. Like I want to see it like massively big before I can't see it in a massive theater anymore. I haven't gone. So that'll be my fifth viewing.
Oh my God. Props to you. You and Ariana, did you meet at Hairspray Live or did you have a relationship before that?
I knew it prior. I mean, I've been friends with Frankie forever.
Oh yeah.
I knew Ariana. I had met Ari when she was in 13 because we have the same voice teacher, Eric Vitro. And so like I did Hairspray and then I went back. I'm very, very, very close with her mom. actually like took a trip to Italy with Joan and I. So like, I kind of say that I'm like, Ari was, he's like 93, Frankie's 83, I'm 73. And then Joan, you know, so I'm like, I kind of fit in the family. Yeah. I'm like in the middle between, like, I'm like the auntie, you know, age-wise, I like fit in perfectly. But I would say I'm closest to Joan out of everybody. Yeah. Like we're very, I love her so much. I'm very close to Frankie and I love Ari, but Joan is like a sister that I like. Yeah, I love her so much. I mean, I love them all, yes. Obviously.
Well, of course. But,
wait, and yeah. Wicked came on Broadway the year after Hairspray, right?
After. Yeah. Adina won the Tony in 2004.
Yes.
It was Sutton, me, then Adina.
What a legendary run. Oh my God.
These three women who are so important to me. Oh my God. So wait, did they do the thing at the Tonys when Adina won where you got to announce it?
So no, I did. Oh my God. It's such a long, crazy story. But no, the answer was no. You could see my eyes thinking like what part of the story I was going to give you. I'll tell you the whole story another day.
Yeah.
But I did the hour before the Tonys, which now they air on Paramount, which is great. But they used to not air it. But I did like 10 awards. Like I got up and gave 10 awards. And then during the award show, I was like, this is what you missed in the pre-show, right?
Oh, they have Julianne Hough do that now.
Correct. I did it again in 2018 after Big Brother when they invited me back to the Tonys because then I was like relevant again, I guess. I don't know.
CBS Starling.
It was CBS. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. There was a tie-in. It wasn't just that I was relevant. So CBS had me. I did the hour before, gave out a ton of awards, gave Cheetah her Lifetime Achievement Award, and that was just everything. And then I did like, you know, this is what happened. But that one, Harvey gave it to Adina. Billy Joel gave me mine, not Sutton. Billy Joel gave me my Tony, which was, as a New Yorker, was really freaking cool. I was like, Billy Joel knows who I am now? Yeah. Or at least knows how to read my name.
Yeah. On the topic of the Tonys, there's this moment when your name is called, Harvey embraces you. It looks like he says something to you. Have you ever gone on the record to say what it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I have. I mean, he said, so it's so funny. He says, they can never take this away from you. Like, you did it. They can never take this away from you. And then I stepped on my dress and I ripped my dress and then I tripped up the stairs. Like, you guys, like, I keep meaning to do it on like TikTok or Instagram, but like a recap of me saying exactly what happened at each beat, because you even come back to me and you'll see like the mic is moving because they're like, don't touch the mic. But I'm like, it's too short. I tried to move it. And then like, I step away from the mic to like wave because I'm like, I want a picture, not with this freaking mic. Like, it's so funny. But yeah, Harvey was like, they can never take this away from you. And it was very special. My husband was there with me, who was my boyfriend at the time, Matt Morrison. I had three people that I got myself a ticket. You know, you get your two tickets, but I couldn't decide who to bring because my boyfriend was just my boyfriend, who's now my husband of like 20 years. I paid for, it was like $750 to have more seats in that area. So I bought Matt Morrison his ticket to sit with me because I was like, I wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for him. Like, he was my like, my greatness on stage was off of who I worked on. So I bought him a ticket and my best friend, Kathy Trian, who at the time was understudying Bernadette Peters in Gypsy. But like, none of us thought that's weird that she was sitting with me. Like, at the time, now we look back and we were like,
yeah,
that's crazy pants that we did, that she did that. Like, Bernadette Peters, one of her understudies, was sitting with me at the Tonys. I've never talked about this. And she's passed away since then. And her children are my godchildren. But we all laugh about that because we're like, both of her children, who are my godbabies, Callie and Keaton. And we're like, oh my God, Kathy was so awesome and ballsy that she just didn't. She's like, I don't care that I understand Bernadette Peters. I'm going to sit next to my best friend at the Tony Awards. And she did. Aww. There she was. So it was my husband, Matt Morrison, and Kathy Trian, who was understudying Bernadette Peters at the time.
Kathy, another girl's girl right there.
Right. My girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kathy was a girl's girl. Kathy loved hard. A lot of people love Kathy Trian. She is a Broadway girl who passed away way too young. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you and Matt Morrison stayed close?
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh my God. Did you see did you see that video? He just came on. He came up during Mama Big Girl. I mean, at our show, Mama Big Girl Now, and he came up as Link. And you guys, it was, when I tell you, first of all, everyone go watch it. Go watch my Instagram. Matt Morrison comes up. And so I pick a link for your audience to understand. I pick a link. It's usually a random stranger. I like picking, like, a lot of times my favorite choice is like an old fat guy who doesn't know the show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's my favorite person to pick. Yeah. But usually it's usually like a sweet young gay guy who knows exactly what to do. But I like it better when they don't know it. Like, it's like someone's dad that came that like never saw Hairspray because I like yelling at them during the song. It makes, I can hear the bells, so fun. But a lot of times we'll get like a celebrity or someone that had done the show come up, and Matt Morrison came up. And I will tell you, I clicked back. It was so the most special moment I've had on stage in 1,000 years. Honestly, I think it was more special than even doing the show, because neither one of us talked about it. I just said, you're going to do Link. Obviously, you've seen me bringing people up. And then he came up, but then he like did the number, remembered what we did. Like, I forgot that we did a little turn at the end. I forgot that he touched my chin at the end. I forgot all those moments. And we just like clicked back into it. And vocally, my voice was like, I like literally went back into that exact voice. Like, and I was like, oh, I forgot how I even sang it. But it was like the smell of Matt, the like physical of Matt, the visual of Matt just made me go right back into being 20 years ago, Tracy Turnblad, and like, and feel, because I'm such an actress that like I feel everything that my characters feel. And I went right back into that, and all the blocking was the same. And oh my God. And then he kissed me so hard, and it wasn't in the blocking. Obviously that was new. And let me tell you, this old broad has watched that video 8,000 times. I'm like, oh, my husband's absolutely getting lucky off of that kiss, because that like, it was so hot. It was crazy. It was crazy. It was so hot. And I called, left his wife a voice memo right away. And I was like, oh my God, that was so hot. I love you. I'm letting you know that this is happening. And it happened.
Oh my gosh.
It was so perfect. Yeah.
The body and mind are amazing, how they can bring you. Yeah.
Well, it's like coming and seeing our show, right? Vocally, I'm doing like when I started Good Morning Baltimore, I sing it exactly the same. Like that's muscle memory. So like, your memory of hearing me sing it when you were 20 years ago or 23 years ago now, or whatever it is, it's like sense memories, right? It's like, it brings you right back. And I think like, that's what's so special about our show is that like Laura, Carrie and I are all three of us are doing the same thing. That we're saying, we respect the way you heard it 20 years ago, and we're going to do it that way. Like, I'm not going to give you Good Morning Baltimore, a fun jazz version. She's bringing Legally Blonde and she's doing it the way she did it. Carrie's singing Somewhere That Screen the way she did it, rather than trying to change it up or give it a new flair, because at the end of the day, that's not what you want. You want to hear us do it the way we did it. And I think it's really interesting and special to find other women that agree with that motto, because a lot of people don't do it. And I've watched other people's one woman shows and been disappointed, because I'm like, I just want to hear you sing that one song, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's what kind of is, it's schooled me and taught me how, you know, influenced me how to do these shows. Because when you're coming to see Patti LuPone, when you're coming to see Sutton Foster or Marissa or Carrie or Laura, you're coming to see something. So just give the people what they fucking want, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I worked at 54 Below for 4 years and I saw over 200 cabarets, and that happened at every single one. It was like, come on, like, just do it the way we want to hear it, or they won't do it at all. And they'll do like original music. And you're like,
in fairness, I will say about 10 years ago, I think it was when I was like, I'm not doing Good Morning Baltimore again, guys. Like, I can't, I don't want to. It doesn't bring me joy the way it used to. And it kind of like bums me out that that's all I'm ever singing at like galas or parties or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I went to someone's concert. I'm not going to say who, because that's just cruel. And they didn't do the song I wanted to hear. And at that moment was like, I was like, ah, now I see why. Just sing Good Morning Baltimore. Just sing it. And then I hadn't sung for a while, just living in LA and doing TV and film. It's not like, it wasn't my thing. And then it was at Joan's house, at Joan Grande. She had a karaoke machine up for her birthday. It was a few years ago. And she's like, all I want is for you to sing Good Morning Baltimore. Like, you're going to sing Good Morning Baltimore. And I was like, yeah, of course I am. And I did. And then we like sang through all of Hairspray. And then I was like, oh, wait, I love this again. Like, I got away from it enough that now it's like, I love it so much that I'm like excited, like, and especially the way we do it in our show, it like clicks me back to one, because it's like getting me ready to sing Good Morning Baltimore now. And there's like a reason for it. Like, I guess I always like need to have a reason as an actress, because I'm more of an actress than a singer. I'm an actress who figures out how to sing for what I'm singing. And so when you're just singing a concert, you're just like, I'm just singing a song. It's all about vocals. And I guess with these girls, I'm able to figure out how to do it as an actress.
Yes.
You know?
And the show is so well produced. The structure of the story from start to finish, it goes by, it's such a breeze. Like, it was over and we were like, no, it can't be done. But it's such a complete story in the way it's told. And I don't want to spoil it for people, but you get everything you want.
Yeah.
You get all the Hairspray you want. Yeah. You get all the details, even some like little winks, like, you know, private tidbits of, we're suggesting something that you already might know or might not know, but we're gonna like put it in this song and move on or make a comment. It is just a delight. Are you finding that audiences are having as emotional an experience as Dylan and I had?
No, yes. And I, you know, what's funny is we weren't putting it together to make an emotional experience. We were putting it together to do something we liked. Yeah, and I think that that's where and why it's become so like well-received, because people are like, I feel like every single person comes and says, well, I was expecting to enjoy myself, but I wasn't expecting to, like, I wasn't expecting this. I think that's like everybody, they're like, I was expecting a concert, or I was expecting a this, or I was expecting, but no, everyone's like, but then you made me cry, and then you made me laugh, and then like, I love that story, and I can't believe you sang all those songs. And I think everybody leaves a little like, even they're like, I was told I'd be surprised, but I still was really surprised. Like, you guys did a great job. Like, you know, and I guess Dylan working at 54 Below too, you've seen so many acts that like, I get like, it's actually like, thank you. I'll take your, not that I don't take yours as well, Connor, but like enjoying it from someone who's seen so many of these things. Cause it did start out as, what's our cabaret act? What's our act? What's our way to, honestly, it's like, what's our way to make money on the road and not have to do a single show? Because I have no interest in doing a one woman show.
Okay.
But like, this has really made it. I mean, I have interest because I like making money, but I'm interested in like, what will get me to, like, what's going to get me to come to a show? Having Laura and Carrie there gets me, like, got me to come to New York for 3 months. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I think a lot of people are having the same reaction of like, and we tell, you know, stories about being parents, and we tell stories about like how the business isn't as much as glorious and glamorous as you think. And I think it's very important as like the three of us, not to be like, our show's important, but to like show young girls out there and girls our age and, you know, any kind of performer, girl or boy, that like you can be on stage with other two. Like, I love being able to be on stage with two amazing women who are strong and stars. And if that doesn't have to be about me, it can be about Carrie and it can be about Laura. Then it can be about me. But we're cheering each other on the whole time. Like, her success story is my success story. Her sadness is my sadness. And I think like showing that to young performers, it doesn't have to be about you all the time is so, and that's why Hairspray was so successful. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at Hairspray, it's such an ensemble show. Tracy is the like engine that moves the show on. But like, if I didn't wait for Carrie's laugh or Penny's laugh, and if I'm not waiting for Amber and I didn't have Matt with me, it's like, who cares about Tracy? Like, you only care about Tracy because she has such a world around her, right? And we were so perfectly cast, the three of us, that we're able to do a show together now. And you're not just like, oh, okay, well, that, like, we're doing such different stuff, which we had to do, or else we wouldn't be able to live on the same stage together. You know, it's like, we're the same age, we're the same race. Like, what makes us different is who we are, is who we really are fundamentally, but we're all in the same show. So we all make sense together too, you know?
Oh, absolutely. What I loved was seeing, you know, you did backup for each other, or you kind of played like second fiddle at times. And it was so nice. There was no diva behavior. It was just, oh my goodness. I can't say enough about how amazing it was. I just put my ornament up on my tree.
Yes,
I had to get one of those.
I love seeing like Carrie sitting there watching you sing, or it was just so sweet, the three of you. What a trio.
My favorite is watching the audience when Laura starts her Legally Blonde set. And I love watching the audience's face just go, and it goes on for so long that you're like, she's giving it she gives you everything you want from Legally Blonde, Like, you don't miss a beat. And I watch the audiences, like, I watch, because it's such an intimate stage at New World, that you really can see people and see, like, people, like, losing their minds when it switches to another song. And like, when Carrie starts singing Little Mermaid, like, you see the audience is like, is this happening right in front of my eyes? Like, you know what I mean? So I love watching the audience watch. Yeah.
One of my favorite moments was you doing a little bit of Gypsy for us with some people.
Yeah.
That was great.
Thank you. I know, with Laura Bell just tap dancing over my vocals, but hell, you know what? It works. It's a good bit.
It is.
We literally came up with that bit in one, like, in an attic. She's like, oh my God, what if I'm Baby June? I'm like, great, tap. And then we're like, and then we just like figured it out. I love doing the Gypsy stuff the most. That is my favorite. It is my favorite. And I know it's happening on Broadway right now, but it is still my favorite. And that's like, I love doing it. I love it vocally because it's not Tracy, but it's still powerful.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I try to get in. Like, I feel like I have to represent Hairspray the most. And also, guys, like, I haven't done 18 Broadway. Like, Carrie's done 12 Broadway shows. Like, there's so many things for her to choose from. I'm basically like, you want to hear me sing Hairspray? And then I'll sing some more Hairspray. All right, I'll do some Once Upon an Actress.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I do my best to get in some other things, but I'm not going to not do Bells and Baltimore. You know, like I can't not do it. So
was there ever any thought to include some Grease in there?
Yes. We talk about it a lot because that's a good, it's a crowd pleaser. And when you go across the country, like people want to hear Grease.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, I don't want to be Sandy. I was Jan. What the fuck does Jan do? Jan's like adorable and cute and funny. Like, because the show keeps evolving. I did do a number that like was my audition for Grease, so it's very Grease-esque. But so is Tracy Turnblad, quite honestly. She's very, I mean, Tracy's just Jan all grown up in the star, you know? It's like Jan is like the side fiddle in every high school show. She's like, oh, I'm the cute, chubby pink lady, so that like you get to have a role. But Tracy gets to be the star, but it's the same person. Like, I guarantee you, every girl that's played Tracy played Jan. But she doesn't get to be the star or have the boyfriend. I mean, I guess you do mooning, but who cares about mooning,
right,
you know?
Right. I do want to talk about some of your other credits and whatnot. But before we move on from I'm a Big Girl Now, what is the future of the show? Do you think you'll take it back on the road for more into 2025?
Yes. That's the goal. The plan is, oh my God, our dream would be a different city every week. Like our dream would be like every weekend, a different city. Like all four of us, or three of us, excuse me, agree with that. Like we would love to play every theater across America. Take the next 3 years and do every like big theater, little theater, like just get to like tap into our community that we've built, but don't live in New York, you know? So doing it in New York helps promote that idea to be able to tour sure. it and then like get the booker to book it, because now we have the press, we have the materials. I got the merch. I'm going to sell the merch online. I don't care if we're open or not. Like our merch is so adorable.
Yes.
Actually, an artist from Ohio did it, who does Nina West's merch.
Was it Christian Cimarroni?
Yes. I reached out. You come on. I was like, I want to look like Nina West. I was like, I want this. So yeah, we got him to do it. He did it for us and he did it so fast and so reasonable. Like I was like, I am obsessed with you. I actually am glad you reminded me, because I have to send him a box of merch for Christmas. But he killed it. He killed it.
Oh yeah.
Killed it. I love our merch. It's so adorable.
So it cute.
Is. So my goal is to take this across America for the next 3 years. And we joke that we'll be doing it when we'll literally be singing Welcome to Our 60s together doing this show. Like the Princess Party, you know, like how the Princess Party just kind of goes around. Like, why can't we? Like, that sounds like fun. And also, like, what we love is we created this. We directed this. We wrote this. It's for ourselves. Like, we're doing it for ourselves. And there's something really empowering about that. And also, like, trusting with each other and, you know, I'll be like, Laura, you got to move your stool up. You're not hitting your light. And she's like, oh, right. But like, there's a lot of like trust in that to be able to be like, I'm going to give you a note. Like Laura's giving me notes on like my line. She's like, oh, remember when you used to do it like that? It was funnier. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. I forgot, you know, rather than like, why is she giving me that? You know? So there's been a lot of trust and a lot of joy, but also like, we're all moms. So we also are like work around each other's schedules. Like Laura had to be at something for her like kindergarten, you know, whatever. And I have to go to a tennis match and Carrie had a college thing. And so there's a lot of built in respect and love and admiration so that we're able to like, I'm not like, well, obviously you have to miss that birthday party. We're making money. It's like, no, we only have this one time in our life to be a mom. So we also have to do that as well. So it's really nice working with other people that are at the same place in life together.
That's really beautiful. Well, congrats to you on it. It is
thank you.
Perfect. I hope to see it again. I hope y'all come to Ohio. It'll be
we amazing. Are. Oh. I want to come to Ohio so bad. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would make Nina come and be a guest star just to get her audience there.
Yes.
I'm like, Andrew, you gotta come just to sell our tickets.
Mm-hmm. Andrew's listening. Nina's a friend of the show. I have to say, when we were there the night, it wasn't the link, but Mark Shaman was there the night that we saw the show.
Oh, so you got to see his husband Lou, but you got to see Mark. Oh, you were just at the show. It was perfect. I just edited it for Instagram. I just edited Mark Shaman coming up. How special, right?
Tears in my eyes.
Oh my God. That was amazing.
Mm. How special.
And watching fans walking up to Mark after the show too. It just feels like such a special, like maybe we've all just missed something like Hairspray. And it hasn't been around in ways like Wicked has been. It's been here all this time, but Hairspray is just so meaningful to all of us. And of course the film was great, but I don't know. I think we missed it.
Yeah, it was different. It's different. It's all different. They're all different. I loved the live one, but that's because Jerry Mitchell did the choreography and Harvey was the, you know, I loved that. I mean, I love all Hairsprays. Like I have no like I have no negative spin on any of them. I mean, like, sure, did I really want to do the movie? But I was already 40, so no, I couldn't. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just too old. Like, I couldn't. Like, I mean, like, so it wasn't like, oh, I didn't do it because I wasn't talented. It was like, oh, I shouldn't have been doing the role anyway. Like, I was already too old. But on stage, like, I did it at the Hollywood Bowl, and I was like, I feel like I was like 38 years old and Nick Jonas was 18, but it was the bowl. So after like the first two rows, it didn't freaking matter, you know? So like, but like I did it older. Nobody, like, I think people just thought I was younger when I did it. Like I had turned 30 doing the show. So like by the time they did the movie, I was almost 40. So like, do I wish I had done it? Of course I wish I had done it. Like, of course I wish there was a movie of me doing it, you know?
Yeah.
But I love that when Mark, who by the way, bought tickets to Mama and Big Girl Now. We're like, every other person we know in our life has asked for comps. I'm like, we're literally using all your music. You could have just asked. I would have pulled a ticket for you. You know what I mean? But my old neighbor that lived down the street from I don't talk to is like, can I have a comp? But Mark Shaman didn't ask for a comp. I was like, oh my gosh.
He's a patron of the arts.
He's like, I bought a ticket. I was like, oh, you didn't need to buy a ticket, Mark Shaman. Oh my gosh.
Hilarious. Well, you know what? We forgot to ask you, Marissa. We usually check in with our guests right off the top to meet our guests where they're at, to see how you're doing. Are you well?
I'm exhausted. Thanks for asking. I'm exhausted. I will say, Yeah, you know what? Last year, 2023 was probably like, and I even say this with having had cancer, that 2023 was like the worst year of my life. Like literally the worst. Like I feel like I didn't leave my house for 3 months. Like I was not well, but I was just getting through things. And so this year, 2024, I feel like I reclaimed my joy and reclaimed my happiness and my health and I'm exhausted, but I'm exhausted because I'm working so hard, but I'm so well because I am working so hard. So thank you. That's a tricky question, but I answered it with so much more than you asked for. I say that because if you're home and listening and you're in a really shitty place right now, I will say, like, last year I remember thinking, well, if I don't feel better in 8 months, I guess that's the end. Like I kept like going, well, if I don't feel better in 7 months, but how many more months can I feel this bad for? And then eventually at one point I just started feeling better and here I am. And I'm like literally produced, directed, starring in, put up a show off Broadway, which is literally the hardest thing you could possibly do on your own. And we did it. If you told me last year at this time where I would be this year, I would have thought you were insane because we hadn't even started working on our show yet. That's how fast we did this. So like the fact that I came out of that and into this is really an incredible feat. So if I can do it, there's like, that sounds insane. I would have taken half of that and felt successful. So if you're in a really shitty place today, just get to the next holiday. I think that's my advice to people. Get to all right, let's just check back in Easter. Just get to Easter, get to Christmas, get to Thanksgiving, get to your birthday, because little days are hard. Like just like, all right, let's see where we're at. Just get to that next holiday, you know?
Well, that's
really
inspiring.
Nice advice, for sure. I know, going through hard times, the end sometimes does not feel in sight at all. So whether it be like doing something nice for yourself every day or like medication or a therapist or something
all of it works. Medication works, therapy works, like doing something nice, being alone for a second, but then going out because you shouldn't be alone that much. Check in with the people. If a couple of friends tell you the same thing, like, oh, you know, you haven't done anything. I haven't seen you in a while. It might not be them. It might be you.
Yeah. Well, the wisdom that you shared, I mean, it comes from, you know, you've had years being an actress. It's things come, things go. It's probably kind of an unsteady business to be in. And you can read your resume and see that you've done, you know, a million things. But I'm sure that there were times for you where you felt like, oh, the work isn't coming or, you know, it's.
I already feel that way. I'm literally doing this going, I wonder what my next job is, right? Like, at any point, like I always say, like, yeah, I have a Tony Award, but that's like check for me, the Tony Award validated me in a way, but like, it also, it's like, but it didn't change. Like, it's weird. It did change my life at that moment. And it did it validates me, but it also doesn't create opportunities. Mm-hmm. Like it's one of those things. So it's like a love hate relationship because you're like, you know what it did? It took all the pressure off so I could say yes to any job. Like I didn't have that goal anymore, right? So I spent my whole childhood being like, I just want to be a Tony winner. I want to be Ethel Merman. I just want to star on Broadway. And then I did.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, as Harvey said, they can't take that away from me. I'll go do Big Brother. I'll go do a talk show. I'll go, try this sitcom, because like at the end of the day, I did the Tonys. I got that Tony. So it kind of does make everything else kind of gravy.
Yeah.
So I think it has made my career a little more eclectic, because I lost that like need to do that thing I need to do. Right. And then I was like,
yeah.
Oh my God, wait a second. You make how much money on TV? You know what I mean? Like, wait, I didn't understand how things were. Like, I wasn't joking when I said, like, I basically made the same doing Jan as I did Tracy. Like, I said that in our show. Mm-hmm. I make that joke, but yeah. It's like, but Tracy opened up so many doors, and so I couldn't have done all the TV and film. I would never have been asked to do, you know, Big Brother or Dancing with the Stars or host the talk if had I not done Tracy. So the money didn't matter. Theater is like, there's jobs that you do for love, and then there's jobs you do for money. Mm-hmm. Some will make you famous and some will make you rich. That's kind of how I look at it. Like if someone offers me a job, I'm like, will this make me rich? Will this make me famous? Or do I like genuinely love it? Like, will this like pay me tenfold in experience, right? Like what we do in the shadows pays me tenfold in experience, because working with all of those actors, and I'm not an improv actor and I'm on an improv set, you know, and I'm like, these guys are like, Matt Berry is so incredible. And just working with, you know, all of those actors, I love doing that show. Like they could pay me half as much. I mean, it's over, so I'll admit that now. They could have paid me half as much and I would have done that show. I would have flown myself to Toronto to film that show, right? Whereas other shows, I'm like, you need to pay me more. I'm not doing this. But then I do it because I'm like, this is great. I love it. You know, I love being on set. I love working. I say yes to every job. I don't, even when my agents send me something and then they say, I don't think you should do this. I'm like, well, I mean, I'm not doing anything else that week, so why don't I just do it? You know, like, there'll be like a film that no one will ever see, ever, 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 you know? And I'm like, well, I can go shoot a film that no one will ever see, or I can stay home and pet my dogs. Why don't I just go shoot that film that no one will ever see, but maybe someone from there, and I'll have fun, or I'll learn something, or meet somebody, and I'll pet my dogs when I get home. Like, I'm doing nothing. Why don't I do it, you know? So that happens a lot with me.
I love that perspective so much.
We've got to talk about Big Brother for a second, because
okay,
we were obsessed with Big Brother for like probably from like Frankie season up to like the COVID All-Stars that they did, including the celebs. But I kind of fell off a little bit, and I heard it's gotten even better in the last couple of years. Anyway, you won. You literally won Big Brother. And that was a legendary time, because we had Omarosa in the house with Ross Matthews.
He's coming to the show next week. Yeah.
Oh my God. Stop. Yeah. I cannot.
I know, I'm excited.
I just remember like, obviously, we were gagged to have you on Big Brother, but you were in the house. You didn't see this. But Ross getting some of the scoop from Omarosa about like what's happening in the White House. It was truly a moment in culture I'll never forget.
I will tell you, one of my friends, it's so funny because they would say like, if there's anybody you wish wasn't in the house, because it was such a time, right? Like for your listeners, it was like literally like Trump just in the White House. Oh, because I did it 2018. So no, he had been in for 2 years. Omarosa had just gotten fired from the White House. And it was like, our joke was like, instead of going home because she was scared, she came, that was our joke, this isn't real. But we were like, she came into Big Brother because then no one could kill her in here. Right. You know, again, a joke,
total
not
joke.
Real.
Yes,
it's
yes.
just a total joke. But like, she came into and I remember being like, if there's anyone I don't want to see, I said in an interview, it's Omarosa, because like, I had such negative feelings, you know. I didn't know her. I didn't know anything. Like we all just like learn about people and we don't really know about anything about them. And one of my friends, Ryan O'Connor, said to me, if you walk in that house and Omarosa is there, just know you're on a hit show. And I was like, and I remembered it. And when she walked in, I was like, oh my God, everybody is watching this show. Like it was like Ryan O'Connor's like words were like ringing in my ear. And I remember Ross and I don't know if we ever verbalized exactly this. So there's a lot of conversations that happened in Big Brother before the live feed started. Like I used to say, like, I had a personality before live feeds, and then live feeds, I was like, no more messing around, because if you get caught on the live feeds messing around, then you can't make big plans and really mess up people's games because it's celebrity. Now, again, this is why I won. Let's be clear, because I didn't say Ross went into the diary room, right? And would be like, bad mouthing the other celebrities, then they got kicked off. And I was like, don't do that.
Right.
Like, I thought he was doing that too. Like, I thought he was doing what I was doing. Who would tell them, like, they're going to be home tomorrow.
Right.
They're going to watch it. Their fans are going to hate you. Their siblings are going to be like, he's a jerk. You know what I mean? So like, I knew I was playing such a bigger game than anyone saw. But I remember thinking, and we might've even said it, Ross and I, like, we can't kick out Omarosa because people are watching this show. Like, because we're such producers mm-hmm. and we're such TV people that we knew, like, if you got rid of Omarosa week one, well, then who are we watching? Like, yeah. me and Roth? Like, me and Roth, you can watch on TV all the time. Like, you want to watch Omarosa figure out how she's going to keep going, right? Like, so yeah. we held her as long as we, I mean, she stayed to the final five because that was all the episode, you know, it's like, right. and then the final four was the last night. Like, that was very, like, we can't let her go. She's a TV star, yeah. you know?
Oh, I have this memory of Ross asking her, like, what was it like? And she's like, it was really bad. She's like whispering on the camera. It was so iconic. Oh my God.
But like, here's the thing. He knew it and she knew it. That's what's so fucking great about yeah. all of this is that she knew that was good TV too. So
yeah,
going through that with Omarosa and knowing her outside of the house and knowing what her villain persona TV star is, we're all different, obviously, than our TV personas or who we let you see. I've now been seen in every form of life that my joke is like, when people are like, do you want photo approval? I'm like, I don't care. Every photo of me has been out there. There was literally like, there's back fat from Big Brother. Like, what more can you, like, if it's a bad picture, it might be might sell the show better. You know what I mean? Like, I've learned that like, none of this matters, especially because there's so much social media now. Like, right. Who cares? But like Omarosa is a genius. Like she's got her villain persona. It's perfect. But she's a very loving, very caring woman who reaches out when things are bad and is there on your tack. Like, so I think I know the real Omarosa, you know what I mean? From going through the experience with her, but also just from life. But like that show was so incredible. And that was like a big, I will say that was a big turning point in my career, in my life, because it was the first time I had gotten away. I was a mom and my son had turned 10. And that was the first time I had left him ever. Like I wouldn't do jobs in New York. I wouldn't do jobs in Atlanta. Like I didn't leave him. And my husband worked and would leave us and go new shows. And I was like, I'll stay with the kid. We decided to have a child. One of us is going to stay home. So I did. And that was the first time I went away. And I was like, oh, you know what? He was fine. My husband was fine. The dogs were fine. The house was fine. I can start regrouping and becoming a mom, like my Marissa again. And that's like when after that I did like Beauty and the Beast at the Bowl and I did, you know, Kinky Boots at the Bowl. And then I started like really reclaiming but also with a 10-year-old, it's different than a 5-year-old, you know? And sure. It's like Carrie Butler, she did 12 Broadway shows and had 2 kids and nothing slowed her down. Like I just personally couldn't do it. I'm not saying that nobody can do it. It was how I had to be a mom. It was what I wanted. But Big Brother was what re-kicked my like, so that was 2018. And I will say my career since 2018, definitely as I always worked, but I definitely was taking more risks.
Sure.
Since then. Yeah.
Oh, and the prize money probably felt kind of good too.
Yeah, that felt real good. I made so much money on that job because they paid me too just to be on it, you know.
Right.
And that was like,
oh yeah.
That was so amazing. That was the bonus because I was never supposed to win. Like I didn't go in to win. Like that was like never the plan. My plan was just get to like the final three, be on the show the whole time because you got paid like, you know, weekly. And I was like, that's a good gig. Yeah.
Similar to Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars was the same way. So Final Four with Dancing with the Stars, I was on every week because you get paid on Dancing with the Stars. You get paid first show and last show is one lump sum because everybody's going to be on the first show and the last show. And then you get paid different bumps as you stay on longer and longer. Well, Final Four does, you're out the second to last week. So, but I'm on the final show. So I got paid yeah. the same as the winner.
Love. Oh so my like, God.
And also that was the other show. I wasn't even meant to like go get anywhere on that show, but I was the first chubby dancer. So America was like, oh, there's someone that looks like us. And it was the, and then that became like a slot in the show. Like I was the, and I was a chubby dancer that wasn't there to lose weight. Like there were people that were like, I'm going to do this because I want to lose my baby weight. Like I was just like, I'm just a chubby girl. I was literally just Tracy Turnblad on a dance contest, right guys? Like
you're so right. Eventually it was like Kirstie Alley was losing weight. Kelly Osbourne was losing. Yes, yes. You're so right.
I was like the first to just be like, this is who I am. And I'm on the show and I'm just like you at home watching. And that's why I get horrible scores. If you go back and watch now, you'll be like, oh my God. But the audience just kept me because I was happy and cheerful. And I'm like, I'm just so happy to be here. Now fans of Hairspray go back and watch and you're like, I might as well have been saying Tracy Turnblad line, paneling Tracy Turnblad in Dancing with the Stars. Like literally like a crazy person. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm just happy to dance and we're get to dance together. Oh, like literally I probably said lines from the show, you guys.
That's so funny. We were on our home phone voting for you religiously, Marissa.
Like we're eighth grade.
You and Tony yeah. Dovoloni.
Me and Tony Dovoloni. We never fought because if we would fight, together, like on the phone, because what we would never film fighting, because we're like, if we look miserable, why would anyone keep us here? And I was never miserable, but like we would fight, but we would never be like, but we were smart enough to be like, don't give that to them, because no one's gonna want me on the show if I'm not having a good time. I'm like, my audience will be like, let her go. If you saw me crying, you'd be like, please go home. Yeah. Don't make her miserable.
And that was back when the show was getting 20 million viewers a week, two episodes a week, right?
It was so great. Was it two or was it three? Did we ever do three episodes a week?
It's possible. I remember there being
probably
a full elimination night episode was like Tuesdays.
There was a whole consultation night and then a whole full elimination night. But maybe we just rehearsed so hard on Sunday, it always felt like three show day. It was crazy. Like, no, the announcement for that show was on the Oprah Winfrey Show. They flew me to Chicago. I was like sequestered because we didn't know who was going to be on the show with us. And they had us come out one by one. And I was like, I'm on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Like, I came out and I was like, hey, I still have the dress I wore. I could probably wear it still because I like everything's the same. On Oprah, it wasn't like, oh, on the Bachelor season finale announcement of the, no, it was on freaking Oprah. We were the number one show and it was like, exactly, it was like 25 million viewers. And I'll tell you, I went back and did Hairspray after that. After doing it, I went to close Hairspray. And I remember thinking, after doing Dancing with the Stars, I was like, oh my God, 30 million viewers are pausing, rewinding. Everything you did was like recorded. And then I was back doing live theater going, well, it's your word against mine. And I remember totally chilling out and just enjoying theater because I was like, it's you against me. Like, you could leave and tell someone I sucked, but like, they don't believe you. So like, who cares if I hit that note? And like, that's sort of how I am at like New World stages. I'm like, I'm just going to sing. Like, I'm not going to sing tomorrow and just have fun and see what happens, because whatever the small audience, it's like, your word against mine. You're either, and like, honestly, you're going to have a better time if I'm not stressed. So like, what am I stressed about? Like, you guys are psyched to be there. I'm psyched to do it. Let's all just have fun. The stakes are so low because it's just for fun. And I think like, that's a very important thing to get in our business, because we get so stressed out about everything that like, how can you have a good time if you're wigging out, right? So like, have fun. And it's like, if you miss a note, you miss a note. What's going to happen, right? Which is new for me, that's a new approach to theater for me.
Oh, well, I mean, things you learn with time. I mean, that's really important to know.
Totally.
I'm happy to hear that. Because, you know, in preparing to chat with you, I heard that, you know, you were very protective of your rest and your voice and everything during your run of Hairspray. So it makes me happy to hear that you've been able to let a little bit of the stress go, a little bit.
Well, I will say, I still am very protective of my sleep and I don't go out when the girls are like, let's go get a drink. I'm like, I have to go home. We have a show tomorrow. I still do that because I'm not a well-trained athlete like Carrie and Laura. Like, they've sung longer and more than I have. If I wasn't singing, if this was just a play, it would be perfect. But on stage, I'm not as, like, I would not be panicked. I needed quiet in my dressing room. The three of us share a dressing room. We were like, even if there was an option, even when we go into big theaters and there's like a room for each of us, we still share a dressing room because we want to be together. Like, we will share. So I wouldn't have done that prior to this. I'd be like, I need my own space. Y'all need to stop talking. I need my own. And now I'm like, no, let's just have fun and enjoy life.
When you went back to Hairspray before it closed, do you feel like Tracy was different that time around for you?
My joy was different, right? I was lucky enough to get to do the show once. I left the show in 2003, and then I did it with Bruce Valanche in 2004 in Los Angeles. I did like a 6-week run with Bruce Valanche, and Matt Morrison came through there and did it with me as well, because we were basically like, we're doing it in LA. I want to do it in LA. My whole goal was like, let's pretend that there's no one else out there in the world that can do this role. So I'll just do it here too, so that nobody sees anybody else. But then obviously there's been 8,000 Tracys now. So now that secret's out, you guys. More people can do it than just me. But I did it with Bruce Valanche, and it was like, I had so much fun and people were just so happy to see the show. There wasn't like Tony stress or opening stress. And then when I went in and I went in like 2006, I did it for a little while. And then like, yeah, my line readings and my blocking and the way I stand and the way I move my skirt, nothing changed. But like the fun I had doing it, and I was able, like, I know like the second time around, I like made friends in the cast. Whereas before I kind of like really kept to myself. Obviously I was friends with Carrie and Laura. We become better friends. Like, Laura and I joke that like, we loved each other then, but like, we weren't really friends. Like, I was very, very secluded. Carrie got stuck with me because she was on stage with me the whole time. So she had a deal, like, she kind of got stuck with me being like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to sing tonight, you know? And Matt and I were very, very close and always have been and will always be. But I will say that Laura and I became grown up friends. Like, you know, like as we got older, and we both lived in LA after Hairspray, and we became very close, and we were on the same TV shows together. We had the same circle of friends, and we became very close. And like Carrie and I, same. It's like, I was very secluded when I did Hairspray. I was very lonely, but I didn't care. I was there to do my job and to fulfill my lifelong dreams.
Sure.
But the times I went back, I was able to like make friends and have a, like, I remember those times much more fondly than my original time. Was scary.
Yeah.
It was just scary.
On last Friday, we saw Constantine Rizzulli in Big Gay Jamboree, and we told him we were going to be chatting with you. And he was like, just tell her at the top that you know me and she'll love you guys. And so I forgot to mention
it's true. You did forget, but I loved you guys anyway. Oh. No, Connie was my last link. He was my last link. And well, I mean, I closed the show with Connie. Then yes. I did it at the Hollywood Bowl with Nick Jonas, but Connie was my last, and he was just so young and so sweet. And if his ass didn't get any hotter as he got older, I will say he is a good looking man. That's for sure.
God took a little extra time.
Yeah, he took a little. I just found a picture of him holding Zev. I literally just took it. It's so funny. I just screenshot it, but Zev was like 6 months old. And I literally screenshot it because I was like, oh, I have to remember to save this picture for Connie. Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Like, here, wait, so no, sweet. Literally.
Both babies.
Oh,
both
my
are
God.
Babies.
Both babies. Aww. I know. He's so cute. No, Connie was so, I loved him so much. I think he's coming to our last show.
He did say he's gonna come.
And I was like, and if you come to our last show, that would be so like iconic for me.
Parallels.
To be my last, to do Link as in our last show that we do in New York. That would be,
oh, I love it.
Well, this has been so much fun, Marissa. Thank you for giving us all these amazing stories and just spending this time with us. It was a treat for us, truly.
Thank you. No, thank you guys. Thank you so much.
We do end on a dose of drama. If you've got like 60 seconds here, we'll all share a little something on our minds. It could be something we binge watched, the book we're reading, the thought we had while crossing the street today, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I was going to say, on the topic of Dancing with the Stars, you know, I haven't missed a season since probably even before Marissa was on. Actually, that's not true. I did miss one season, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. This season wrapped. It was such a fun season overall. Joey from The Bachelor one, he's so cute. He was so amazing. I loved him. But in that finale, I was kind of like, wait, do I want Alona to win? Is this the journey that I had the most fun watching? And I think it was. I feel like she was the winner in our hearts.
She was the Marissa slot this year, the fun audience favorite.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And she was a good dancer too. And so I wish it could have been a double crowning. Double crowning for
Joey.
They've
never done that.
Yeah. Have they ever done that?
No. Only on Drag Race.
Only on Drag Race.
Yeah.
That's smart.
All Stars.
I would love for you to be on a All Stars Dancing with the Stars, Marissa. That'd be really fun.
Out of all of the jobs I've ever done, that was the most stressful.
I can imagine.
Because I actually thought it was going to be really, I thought it was going to just be easy and fun. I was shocked how hard it was. That was my most stressful show. I mean, I would do it again, of course, because I say yes to everything. You know, but I wouldn't be as good as I was. That's for sure. No.
Okay. Well, my dose of drama is, you're talking about your friendship with Matt Morrison. I'm suddenly wondering why we never saw you on Glee. All those years he was doing it. Come on. That would have been amazing. That would have been such a treat. That's my dose of drama.
I know.
In the Glee boot one day, maybe it'll happen.
It makes no sense.
I know.
I will say he constantly said, I've talked to casting. I've told them that you should be on it. I'm like, great, great. I mean, I was just, listen, it's not like that was a very busy time for me as well, but I was certainly available. How was I not on Glee? There's a couple of musical shows like that where I'm like, did I just peak too soon? Did all of that stuff happen just a little bit too late? Mm. Had Glee come out when I was doing Hairspray, I clearly would have been on Glee, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it was so, like, Matt was literally living at my house when he had that Glee audition. And he was like, I don't know. And we're like, we'll see. And we watched the pilot. And then he shot it and we watched the pilot. And we were like, wait, this might be good. Like, just crashing on a back room, you know?
Wow.
Like, they all crashed at my house. I was the gateway from New York to LA. Like, people would live at my house.
That's aww, so cute. Like, was it Carrie that said she stayed in your son's bed at Laura Bell's wedding?
Yeah, for Laura's wedding, yeah. But I also grew up in a house where, like, everybody is always welcome. So, like, my house, there's always, like, I would say there's a gay divorcee getting sober in my back room. Like, literally, like, my son has grown up with, like, that's, like, our biggest joke of our house. Is like, my son would be, like, 8, someone's driving him to school, and they're like, who's that? And he's like, I guess he's my roommate. I don't know. It's, like, some guy that's just, like gay divorcee getting sober, living in my back room. Like, that, yep, that's pretty much sums up that guest room slot.
Marissa, do you have a dose of drama for us?
Well, I will say I'm obsessed with that show, Bad Sister. Have you guys watched Bad Sisters?
No, but I heard it's great. That's on Netflix, right?
Guys, get to it. Go watch season one. You're going to love it. Bono's daughter's in it, and she's so hot. She's the prettiest girl in the world I've ever seen.
Oh, she was in the Nicole Kidman.
Yes, but you're gonna love her in this even more. She's okay. So I'm obsessed. I watched season one years ago, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. I don't even know. Season two just started. That's a show that I'm obsessed with, and I feel like a lot of people don't know about it. I came to it late, so go watch that. You'll love it.
I love it.
Okay. Thank you for everything you've given us over these years, Marissa. There's so much more to come for sure, but the amount of joy that you have provided Connor and I, America, everyone who loves Hairspray, it's truly a gift. And to see you back on stage in your element feels right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And everyone needs to follow you on Instagram. You're posting updates from the show. Are you just at Marissa Jarrett Winokur?
Yes. We're posting so much, you guys. We are the marketing team. Yes.
It's amazing. While everyone's following Marissa and grabbing their tickets for the closing weekend of Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now, they got to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Marissa, and hope you have a wonderful holiday season.
Thanks, you guys. You too. I'll see you in Ohio soon.
Yay. Yes, you will. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.